Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Shabbat Shalom.
Avos Pas.
Avos Pas. Okay, Pas Avos. That's my version of speaking in tongues. I don't know if it's a gift or not, but regardless, peace to you. God bless you today. Is it good to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him today? Today I'd like to do, I'm thinking it's kind of a part two to last week. Does anybody remember what I spoke about last week at all? Jenny a little bit, or a lot maybe? Who knows?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Well, this is a brief synopsis. I if you weren't here or you don't remember, I read to you Isaiah chapter 1. In the beginning of Isaiah, it identifies the time and Isaiah, who he's the son of, and he lived in the times of the later kings of Judah after before they were taken captive into Babylon. And Isaiah painted a very dire picture for him, because the people that were getting ready to be taken into Babylon, it was because of their sins, and things were not good. They had problems. They had different issues. They had forgotten their God, basically. They didn't recognize who their God was. They were going after other gods. A highlight of that chapter was Isaiah chapter 1 is the 18th verse, which I know many of you have heard over and over again, where it says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Will they be red like crimson? They'll be as snow." I might have got that Liz Dexic on me a little bit there, but then right after that, it went kind of downhill a little bit again, because he said, "You guys still have issues. You need to be transformed." Basically, I picked out a particular verse there where it talked about the wine being mixed with water. They were watered down. Their silver was mixed with dross, the King James Version for garbage, basura. Still speaking some tongues a little bit. Basura. They put trash in the silver. And I compared this whole chapter a little bit to the gospel message. Right? We come in this world, everybody has sin in their lives, and they need to come to God for that cleansing. And then after that cleansing, we still need a process of transformation, a purifying, a removal of the garbage from our lives. The removal of that garbage, that basura, that trash in our silver. And I referenced a couple other chapters in Malachi and Zechariah, which talked about a refining that refining by being tried by fire. Today I want to read to you again another full chapter, and I hope that's not too much, but this is probably one of my all-time favorite chapters of the Bible, or stories in the Bible. I think I reference it fairly often. Anybody have a guess of what it might be? I'll give you a hint. It's in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bunky guessed it. So if you'd like to turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. And this I think, is, as you see, it kind of relates a little bit to last week, because what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced in Daniel chapter 3 is a very challenging moment in their lives. They have a choice to make. They are now in Babylon, these young men. They were a part of this group that their parents, their grandparents, were the ones that Isaiah was talking to about. The ones that Isaiah was telling them about the wickedness that they'd chosen. And they realize that the reason that they've gone into captivity is because of the sins of their fathers. But they also realize they've been taught. They know who their God is. They know, they accept why they're there. And then they also face the challenges of living in Babylon. And I think that's pretty apropos to the way we live today. Because we're living kind of in Babylonian times. You might have looked at the United States of America. We might have had a golden age like Israel had when they came out of the Promised Land. And there was a blessing. America's had problems from the beginning, but so did Israel. From the beginning also. But it seems like in this day and age, the blessings of this nation is waning. It's dissipating. Because of the people, year after year, in this nation, tend to want to forget God, and forget who their God is a little more and a little more, year after year. These three young men are in Babylon. And I'd like you to read with me along here in chapter 3. And it starts off with Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 2 was about a vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel had provided the interpretation of the vision. And that's another good message all in itself about that statue and what it represented. But then Nebuchadnezzar, he proceeds to build an image. A big statue, an idol. In starting with verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So this is a pretty big thing. It's 60 cubits high, which is about a foot and a half for each cubit. We're going to think something that's about 90 feet high. It's made of gold. It's about 6 cubits wide, which a foot and a half for that. He's making it about 9 feet wide. So you have this tall statue that's like from here to that door, and then it goes up like 7-8 stories high. That's a pretty good sized statue. And he puts this in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he sends to gather all his princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of this image which Nebuchadnezzar, king, had set up. And then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people and nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up." And here comes the problem. And he says, And whosoever falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." In verse 7 it says, "Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of that cornet, that flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages, they fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." And then it says, "Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near, and they accused the Jews. And they spake unto Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace." And they said, "There are certain Jews who thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after the interpretation of the image that Daniel had given them, Daniel recommended these guys for high positions in Babylon. They set up this golden image to worship. And they notice, these guys aren't bowing down. And once more, these guys that are in these high positions are not bowing down and worshiping. So they accuse them. You know, sometimes we think maybe we can just stay in the peripheral. Maybe nobody will notice. You know, we'll just do our own thing. But in this case, we see these three guys were placed in a high position. They're very noticeable. And the challenge is going to say, hey, these guys, you can't have these guys in these high positions not worshiping like you commanded. So Nebuchadnezzar at this point becomes angry. Starting in verse 13, he says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at the time when you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" He's saying, Nebuchadnezzar's saying, I'm a reasonable guy. He's angry, but he's reasonable, right? He says, all you got to do, I'm going to give you a chance here. All you got to do is bow down and worship. This is the accusation. All you got to do is prove their accusation is incorrect. Just bow down and worship this image. And if you don't, who do you think can deliver you from me? There's no God out there that can deliver you from me. I'm all powerful. I'm the king of Babylon. This is decision time for these three men. And this is very inspirational to me. Sometimes I think, you know, what would I do in this situation? These guys are facing imminent death. You don't get thrown in a fiery furnace and live. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But then they say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These three guys said, basically the way I'm reading this, they're saying, we believe in our God. We believe our God can save us from this situation. We're not sure what He's going to do. But here's the deal. Either way, whether we die, whether He delivers us, there's no way we're going to bow down and worship your false gods. It's not going to happen, is what they tell Him. This is a very dire situation. These guys are going to die. Sometimes I think, you know, what would I do in that situation? Would I have that courage? Would I have that faith? Sometimes I think about, what about even smaller situations? What about situations that are less dramatic? And I'm challenged in the choices that I make. What choices would I make in that situation? And I think to myself, you know, I could say, oh yes, I would do this. Or, oh yes, I would do that. In this situation, I would make the same choice that those guys would make. I think of Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then he denies him three times. Peter goes on to find grace and become a great witness. And we're going to get into Peter here in a little bit. It's kind of not what we say we'll do, but what we do when the actual time comes. What will you do when you're tested? What choices will you make when you're being put to the fire? These are good questions. How do we prepare for them? I think in the ways that we prepare for them, we need to know the things that these guys knew, that these young men knew. What did they know? Number one, they knew that God could deliver them. And they told them that. They told Nebuchadnezzar that. I'm going to go on. I'm going to get back to that a little bit later too, about the things that they knew that made it so that they had the ability to face this challenge, to face these circumstances with great faith. Let's go to verse 19. It says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more." Was wont to be heated. 7 times hotter than it was ordinarily. Like the original fire wasn't hot enough to kill him. They're going to heat it 7 times more. And then he commanded his most mighty men that were in his armor to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen. I like that word, hosen. Put your hosen on. And their hats. And their garments. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys died. And the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace, the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, who was just fuming mad a minute ago, is astonished. It says he's, in the King James here, it says he's astonied. And he rose up in haste and he spake and he said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast these 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king, we threw in 3. And he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose." There's 4 men in there, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he comes near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake and he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "You servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. They came out of the fire untouched. Not even the smell of smoke was on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. He says, then therefore I will make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak against anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So these three guys, they didn't know for sure. They didn't know for sure if they were going to be delivered. But in this story, they are delivered. In this story, there's somebody in there protecting them. There's somebody in there helping them through the trial by fire. Now, is this the case in every story in the Bible? Is it always a deliverance? It's not. Sometimes people are they don't make it through that trial. They actually suffer the death. And these guys didn't know which way it was going to go. Stephen, when he was tested, they went ahead and stoned him and he died. Others have died. But in this story, it was a great deliverance. I'd like to read some verses out of... I mentioned Peter a little bit ago, but I'd like to read some more verses out of Peter. One of them was a scripture reading. But when you read these, when we look at these verses, think about how they relate to this story in Daniel chapter 3. There's some theme there that continues on with the idea of fire. Last week we had talked about the fire being the cleansing. That's how the cleansing of you get the garbage out of the metal by the cleansing by fire. Fire can both be destructive, and fire can also cleanse. But turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. This was the scripture reading. I'm going to read it to you again. 1 Peter 1:1. So this letter is written by Peter, the same guy that had denied Christ three times, but was his disciple. But now he's writing a letter. This letter is addressed to all the strangers that are scattered about these different places of Asia Minor, the area there we call Turkey today. I'm going to start with verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory and the appearing of Jesus Christ." Peter addresses these people that are scattered about Asia Minor. He reminds them of something here. He reminds them of a concept that I think these three young men were well aware of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He reminds them of Jesus' mercy. And he reminds them of the hope of the resurrection. An additional thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. They knew that even if they weren't delivered, they knew that even if they died, that they had the hope of the resurrection. Peter is telling these early Christians, he's reminding them of the hope of the resurrection. Because in this time, he knows that these people in these early churches, they were facing persecution. Their faith was being tried. In verse 7, he says, "Your faith is more precious than gold." What's more precious than gold? Faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus. Peter had told... forgive if he was blind or impotent, but he had told him, he was there begging the beggar, he told him, "I don't have any money. But what I can give you is more precious." These early Christians, the ones that Peter's writing to, he's reminding them of the promise. He's preparing them for the test that they will face. Sometimes we look at this story, and people look at this story of Daniel. Is this just a story? A myth of the Bible? Do you believe that our God can really deliver like that? Do you really believe that even if he doesn't deliver, that there's a resurrection and that he'll bring you back to life? These are tests of faith. As a body of believers, we're continually tested. Just like these three Hebrew guys, there's always somebody ready to accuse. There's always somebody ready to challenge. They couldn't just be minding their own business and just do their own thing. You know, the other people could bow down, and they could not bow down. That didn't work. They're like, "No, make those people bow down too." I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Peter 3, chapter 3. Also, keep in mind as I read these verses, in relation to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you." So he's writing to the same people. "In both which I stir up in your minds by the way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that therein was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in a night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that all manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter's writing to the same people that he had written to before. He's telling them, once again, things of hope. He's telling them Jesus will be coming again. He's telling them in the last days, people will be like, well, He hasn't come yet. This is a pipe dream. They're going to scoff. They're going to willingly deny that there was a flood once before that judged the earth on its wickedness. They're willingly going to deny that. He says this time it's going to be by fire. The fire is going to consume them. What's the solution? He said to prepare for that day. To put your trust in Christ. To put your trust in God. Because we look forward to a time when we see a new heaven and a new earth, in which there is righteousness. He says it'll be a fervent heat. These three Hebrew boys, young men, did they fear the heat? Should we fear the judgments to come? Well, it depends. Do you have Christ walking with you while you walk through the fire? If so, you're protected. It won't touch you. It'll only cleanse you. Do you not have Christ as your Lord and Savior? The fire will eat you up. Just like it did the soldiers that threw them into the fire. The fire licked out to them and killed them. You have a choice. Where do you want to put your faith? Do you want to have Christ near you? The way to do that was as they remained faithful. They remained faithful to their God. When they were told, you have to do this or you're going to die, they said no. Got just a few more verses with you to share with you today. I'd like you to turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read to you verses 9 through 17. Paul's writing to the Corinthians and he says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Laborers or workers? Are you workers? Did you come to work for God? Or did you come just to get fed? And to eat? Paul says, we are fellow laborers. We labor together. We work together. He says, you are God's building. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid a foundation, and another builds thereon. But let everyone take heed how they build. How are you building? It's important how you build. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't build on a different foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But pay attention how you build. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what kind of work it is. Think about what kind of work you're doing. Where are you laying your work upon? What foundation is your work laid upon? Is it laid upon the same foundation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they knew the commandments of God and they knew what it was to be faithful? He describes some different building materials here. He says there's gold, there's silver, there's precious stones, there's wood, hay, stubble. Think about, there's different types of work here. Which one holds up the fire? Everyone's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He's telling the Corinthians, we're building something here. You're God's creation. I've given you work to do. And this work is going to be tried by fire. It's going to be tested. And when it's tested, we'll see what kind of work it was. I mentioned before, I think to myself, what would I do in that situation? You know? And we can ask ourselves, and we can say, yes, 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 I'll follow you, Lord. But Jesus says, it's not those that say, yes, yes, I'll follow you, Lord. It's those that actually follow. He talks about the other one that said, no, I won't do it. But then he went ahead and did it. And then he asked them, which one did the will of his father? The one that said he would, and then didn't do it? Or the one that said he wouldn't do it, and then went ahead and did it? And they said, it's the one that actually did it. These three boys, or young men, I think they're actually young men. These three young men, they actually did it. Now, I know this is a story that gets taught in the classes. There's a lot to this story. This is not just a story. There's a lot of meaning behind this story. We see in this story that we can't escape being tested. We can't escape the fire. But we also see in this story how to come through unscathed. Paul mentions to him here in Corinthians, they'd be tried by fire. He lets them know that those trials don't mean that God doesn't love you. Peter said before, he said in those other verses I read, Peter said that God wants everybody to come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. But he's not going to force somebody to love him. He's not going to force those that willingly reject him to love him. But those who are willingly ignorant, that means willingly ignorant, that means they're purposefully ignorant. They're doing it on purpose. Those that don't recognize God's word because they love their sin more than their God. Rather than repent of their sin and turn from those ways, they want to stick with it. I heard that in the olden days people used to preach fire and brimstone, and that's, you know, and now in the new days we preach more grace, 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 God is good. Well, there's truth to both. There's truth to the grace that God gave these guys. There's truth to the grace that they were able to survive. But there's also truth that those other guys that threw them in the fire got burned up. The fire can destroy, and the fire can purify. If you have faith in God, He'll remove the garbage from your life. He'll remove the dross from the silver. No more basura. He'll cleanse you. He'll guide you. He'll prune you. But if you reject God, you'll be like the chaff which the wind blows away and is consumed in the fire. My prayer for us as a body is that as we are tried, and we're tried by fire, there's a part of me that thinks, you know, there's the honest part of me says there's some of us that won't make it. When Jesus was with his disciples, he had Judas sitting right there. Jesus knew that he wouldn't make it. In the same token, I don't know which ones of us will come through the fire unscathed and which ones of us will be consumed. But just to be perfectly honest with you, this is truth. In 20 years that I've been coming here, or better than that, I've seen people fade away. You have to ask yourself, do you want to be somebody that's going to fade away? Get caught up in the cares of this world? Or do you want to be somebody like these three young men who held on to their faith and had Jesus walking by their side? May God bless you and keep you, and let His light shine upon you and be gracious to you. God bless.